the particular figure in the past, and I'll do my best not to shake. I've thinking about my past opportunities to speak. I don't think I've ever been on the morning pulpit. I don't know. Maybe I've been, but one thing I remember in all of my past adventures, Gretchen and telling me, we're not scary. So don't worry. I'm not scary. That really just comes back and stays with me. And I especially think nearly of Kathy's encouragement in my kind of general encouragement to me when I walk with the Lord and try to, front many times just share what a blessing is to her. So anyway, I know that many of you have encouraged me back then. It's a little scary. So, but a while back, the men's Bible study went through the book of Proverbs. And it really, what we learned was a blessing to me, and so many things stood out to me. And Brother Ray asked me if I would cover the pulpit. I thought, yeah, I said, I want to share the blessing and encouragement there was to me to be in the Proverbs, and especially focusing on the Proverbs saying about a righteous man. And so that's kind of where we're going to be this morning. And, but let's pray and get to it. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to just be here this morning. Please be with us, folks, and be in your presence and to be able to open your word and so that they can grow our heart to share. Thank you for your great love and work in our lives, and your word is so wonderful. I pray that we be encouraged and blessed and challenged tonight this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, starting off, if you want to turn to your Proverbs, I thought I would just start with the opening chapter 1. The opening thoughts of Proverbs is verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 is an expression of who wrote it, the author. And then verse 2 is verse 4. Verse 3 is verse 4. Verse 4 is verse 4. And so we're going to see the author and a big strong statement of what the purpose of the Proverbs is for. As we look at these verses, Proverbs 1 and 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, are obtaining wisdom, strength, and the speech of the top of Israel. This is who the beast are. Only now I back on the left and top of the mark. Verse 2. For obtaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring discipline and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving credit to the simple, not much great discretion to the young. starting with Proverbs 3:33. It says, "The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but blessed is the home of the righteous." And another thing that a major reason things are made in the community is as well, is that don't you want that? Does it make you long for righteousness? The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. It also reminds me of what Mary said last Sunday night. We talked about how the scripture is so full of warnings to us. What a grace, what a benefit that is from God to have so many warnings to keep us from trouble. The next one that I want to read is chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the left precious is like the first reading dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path, the walk of the righteous is like the first reading dawn, shining brighter, ever brighter till the first light of day. And then, skipping all the way to 10, and you tell me that chapter 10 is where I'll be. There is not a righteous man on earth who does not watch every other one, you never know that it gets worse. The worst is eternally terrible, separated from God for eternity. And if you're living in that reality, you need to do something about it. So, if you don't know the good news, you need to hear this. If you do know the good news, then rejoice in this. That there is salvation that comes to all who believe and receive Jesus Christ, who died to pay for your sins. And for those who are standing this morning, Romans 3, after you lay out the bad news, in Romans 3, we get in verse 21 and 22, Paul says, but now, in righteousness from God, apart from the law, apart from what we do, righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So the good news, that's the beginning of the good news. Another verse about that is that we know that there's hope by believing in faith in Jesus Christ. There is righteousness. Romans 4, I won't read it, but I want you to go through it. You're reading the book of Romans, like I always want you to do, all the ongoing, preaching Romans. Chapter 4 continues to explain how we have the credit of forgiven righteousness, not because of anything that we have done, not as of wages that we deserve it, but it is given to us because of faith in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, love this verse. I was pent in my mind learning this verse and appreciating it through Brother Rich and how he has ingrained it in me. For Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So praise God, we have a righteousness of our own. We are righteous to those who are through this faith, who believe. Salvation. It has been given to us. It's the doctrine of imputed righteousness. Martin Luther called this alien righteousness. So that was kind of interesting way of thinking about it. Because it comes from somewhere out there. We know it comes from God. It comes from outside onto us. And you cannot work for it. There is nothing in you that you can do to get more. It's the late disposition of salvation. So for all of us who are saved, who weren't given that deserve, we stand. But then there's this. So we stand. We're righteous. And then do we say, okay, it's done. Cool. I'm righteous. Now I get all the benefits of Proverbs because I'm righteous. And what do you consider more? The word the Lord says, Ephesians, for example, Ephesians 2 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're created to do good works in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on in Ephesians 4 to be a little more specific. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, you were taught in regard to your former way of life, when you used to be, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. You got this old junk that you've got to put off, you've got to get rid of, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so Paul is expressing here to the Ephesians that it is something that we have to continue to do. And if we won't get there, if we were in Ephesians 6, we would see that he tells us to put on the armor of God. And one of that armor, part of that armor, is the breastplate of righteousness. And it's not a part of the imputed given to us, alien righteousness. It is a part of what we are called to do. And then back to kind of a longer passage in Romans 6. been a lot of passages that express to us that there is a command for us to pursue righteousness, to go after it, even though we already have it poured upon us by the free grace of the Lord. So the way I see it, and the way I see scholars trying to make sense of it, is that there are at least two, some would say three, some would say four, kinds of righteousness. Some would say, well, one of those third ones would be self-righteousness. But what we see before this morning is that we have a righteousness of Christ put on us by the grace of God. That's our position. But then we also have a righteousness that we pursue. And many great scholars would call this practical righteousness, or they would call it proper righteousness, or active righteousness. This is our daily walk, our daily walk with the Lord. And what the Bible is saying, but I really love, I think this is really practical in thinking through these ideas of righteousness. He said, imputed righteousness makes practical righteousness possible, but only obedience to the Lord makes practical righteousness a reality. So we want practical righteousness in your life, it takes obedience to the Lord. And before you even get there, you've got to have imputed righteousness, the righteousness of God put on you. I believe that there are so many people pursuing righteousness in this world, and they might be pursuing it because they care nothing about God, but they know that there's a benefit to being righteous in some way, and that's because a lot of that self-righteousness comes on them. And this is about someone who believes in God, I think, is really looking to know God, but they think that they have to pursue righteousness in order to please Him and to get His approval. And so that when they get to heaven, God will say, yeah, you've been working at it. I'll let you in. That's wrong. Also, like, again, that self-righteousness. But then those who have salvation by grace through faith to the Lord Jesus, they impute righteousness upon them. Then they properly pursue righteousness for the sake of pleasing the Lord. And for we are His child, He has created us to pursue that. So, let's see, that's very much. So, practical righteousness is absolutely necessary for us. And going back to the Proverbs, I just want to get back to some of the things that really got me excited about what Proverbs say in regards to righteousness. This first group, I'm not going to turn it over. You can turn it over. There's nothing in Proverbs 10. This first group has a lot to do with our words. And another thing I should tell you is that what I read for now, I'm just going to read it on this side. If they're all comparisons, the righteous are like this, but the wicked are like this. For my purpose this morning, warnings are awesome, but I'm not going to read what happens to the wicked. You know, let's just say, what is my wicked, bad, wicked? I'm going to read what the word of God says about the righteous here in these. And so if you're following along with me, and if you're following along with me in the NASB, you know, through my whole or another version, it may read slightly different, and that's going to be a benefit because you get to see it in a couple of different words. But generally speaking, they're all very similar. So in chapter 10, Now, in a more general sense, another group that I want to bring out is things that the Proverbs speak of that are a provision or a blessing that comes from righteousness. And so when we are going back to the beginning of chapter 10, again, I'm going to do the same thing and review the benefits. And starting in chapter 10, verse 3. These are benefits and blessings. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry. Verse 6. Blessings crown the head of the righteous. Verse 16. The wages of the righteous bring them life. Verse 24. But the righteous desire will be granted. Verse 28. The prospect of the righteous is joy. Verse 30. The righteous will never be uprooted. And then chapter 11, verse 8. The righteous man is rescued from trouble. 11:19. The truly righteous man obtains life. And I love verse 28. The righteous will thrive like a green leaf. And chapter 12, verse 7. The house of the righteous stands firm. And then chapter 13, 25. The righteous eat to their heart's content. And then the last one, verse 4, chapter, if you follow me, you guys skip the chapters. 21, 21. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. And I especially thought of that verse, that last one, 21, 21. Just look up the beauty of God's provision for those who are pursuing righteousness. Some of them that I read are interesting. At least one of them I can say, or I think it's a little bit of an idea, the truly righteous man obtains life. And we could say, you know, what is life? Life is life of the Lord, eternal life, starting now, starting at the point of your salvation. And going on into eternity. That's life. And if you're truly like righteous, if you have the righteousness of Christ put on you, and then you say, because of that, because I love Him and I want to obey Him and walk with Him, I'm going to pursue active righteousness in my life, you obtain life. And you are the prospect of the righteousness is joy. These are things that the Lord Jesus expressed that He desired for those that He loves and those who believe in Him. And so, reading through the Proverbs has been a blessing to me. I pray that you would encourage to read through the Proverbs yourself. Take heed to the warnings. Be blessed by the blessings. But most of all, if you don't know that imputed righteousness that comes by faith in Christ, pursue knowing Him, that you would know Christ first, and that's most important. Because without Him, it's just filthy rags. It stinks. It may be attractive to the people in the world, but when you hear the hymn for the Lord and present it to Him, it's just been a stink, and it's been a sad day. So, all right, let's pray. Praise you, Lord, for being able to be encouraged by reading your word. And I pray that you will stir us up, stir me and the rest of us up to chasing after and pursuing righteousness. Walking with you, moment by moment, trusting in you, walking in the Spirit. Things that God clearly says gives us so many instructions for walking in righteousness. And pray that we would take those seriously.